The following program is part of the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations China podcast series. For more information on the National Committee, visit us at www.ncuscr.org or connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, or Weibo.
Good afternoon. This is Steve Orlins, President of the National Committee on U.S.-China Relations, and I am joined today by two experts in the South China Sea. One is Zhang Xinjun, who is an associate professor of public international law at Tsinghua University, and Taylor Fravel, who is a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. And they are here today because we are engaging in these 2 days in a Track 2 dialogue on maritime issues between the United States and China. So let me start with Taylor and ask, why has the South China Sea become such a contentious issue between the United States and China?
Well, Steve, the South China Sea is home to the world's most complicated territorial dispute, which involves five states with competing claims to sovereignty over some or all of the islands, rocks, and reefs, and six states who have claims to maritime jurisdiction. One of these states, the Philippines, is an ally of the United States. And as the disputes intensified after 2009, it increasingly became a point of friction between China and the Philippines, which in turn drew the attention of the United States to the area.
What's the Chinese perspective on these issues today?
Fundamentally, the Chinese government insists on peaceful settlement, the settlement dispute by peaceful means. We suggest to use direct bilateral negotiation, this method, as a way of peaceful means of the settlement. We strongly reject any forced method put on us on the way of the settlement.
In about 14 days, we're going to see a judgment from the United Nations Law of the Sea Tribunal, which I guess it's been about 3 years since the Philippines filed its arbitral case against China. How is China going to respond to that decision?
Let me just make a minor correction. It is not the UN Tribunal for the Law of the Sea is an ad hoc arbitration.
There is no permanent arbitral tribunal. So any case is ad hoc.
The Chinese government made two nuns ever since the Philippines unilaterally initiated this arbitration case to China. Non-acceptance and non-participation. And now I think the policy is going to be framed like putting another two nouns, non-recognition and non-implementation. I think that's the position of the government.
You're an international lawyer. Do you think that's the right position?
I think that that is a, I think there's a political decision made by balancing various kinds of factors, including legal factors. Personally, I believe that the tribunal manifestly does not have jurisdiction, and therefore, I support the government of China.
And why do they not have jurisdiction?
That will be a long story. Let me just put it very shortly. There's fundamentally three points. The first is the real dispute of the arbitration that initiated by Philippines is those concerning territory dispute. So the essence is territory dispute. But the jurisdiction of the court is only to cover the dispute concerning interpretation or application of the convention Well, as we see, this Law of the Sea Convention has nothing to do with territory dispute. So territory dispute is obviously outside the jurisdiction of the court. This is point one. Point two is some of the submissions involves delimitation. And delimitation, although it is indeed a dispute concerning interpretation or application of the convention, but the convention itself avail party states to issue a statement to exclude the
reservation to their accession.
It's reservations similar, this Article 298. And third, there is also a precondition before the compulsory judicial settlement. That is also prescribed by the convention itself. Fundamentally, it will ask the parties to go to negotiation first. In the Chinese view, that the Philippines never talked with us on these submissions, mm-hmm. on this dispute, mm-hmm. submitted these okay. 3 points.
Taylor, South China Seas is kind of far. Most Americans probably couldn't tell you where it is. Do we have a dog in this fight? And if so, what is that dog?
Well, hopefully most Americans would conclude that it's south of China.
Maybe.
Certainly the U.S. has a number of interests, I think, in the South China Sea. The first, as I mentioned before, is the credibility of U.S. alliance commitments. Now, Americans may dispute the importance of credibility in our alliance commitments, but I think it's certainly a factor that the current United States government has stressed. More generally,
our alliance commitments. Why does this relate to our alliance commitments?
Because the Philippines is a treaty ally of the United States.
The treaty cover these disputed?
The treaty does not.
Rocks and islands and reefs.
No, thankfully, the treaty excludes the territories claimed by the Philippines, or the situation would be even worse. But it does include Philippine military and government vessels. And so if there were an incident over these islands and rocks that included Philippine government or naval vessels, it would then invoke the treaty, which would not determine how the United States would respond, but it would certainly require consultations.
Okay, so treaty commitments.
So treaty commitments, and it's linked to the fact that another U.S. ally, Japan, is involved in a dispute over territorial sovereignty of islands, in this case the Senkaku or Diaoyu Islands in the East China Sea. And so in some ways, the South China Sea and the East China Sea creates an interdependence of our alliance commitments mm-hmm. in the region. So I think that's one factor. More generally, certainly for the Obama administration, I think there have been concerns about what kind of power China will be in the future. And because the South China Sea is a territorial dispute and states in these kinds of disputes often take unilateral actions to defend their claims, they're broader concerns, I think, among many in Washington about what China's actions in the South China Sea might signal for Chinese foreign policy more broadly. The third reason would concern stability in the South China Sea because a tremendous amount of global commerce and trade passes through those waters. And although China's position is that it has no interest and supports freedom of navigation with respect to commercial traffic in the South China Sea, instability in the South China Sea could nevertheless impact even commercial traffic and thus would have negative consequences for the economies of states in the region as well as for the United States, which depends on trade that passes through the South China Sea.
With the importance of working with China in kind of minimizing the North Korean threat, dealing with counterterrorism, dealing with global economic issues, which have really risen in the last week, how do we resolve this issue? How do we take this issue and either lower its temperature or make it go away?
Well, it's very difficult to make it go away, but you can certainly try to lower the temperature. Perhaps you could wish that it were to go away. I think with respect to other issues, security issues in Asia that involve the U.S. and China, for example, North Korea is much more important than the South China Sea. I think both China and the United States would probably agree on that situation. So I think it is important for the contention that exists between the U.S. and China over the South China Sea to be contained. And the way in which the U.S. has tried to contain it is to underscore that it maintains neutrality on the question of sovereignty of the disputed rocks, islands, and reefs. So on the one hand, the U.S. is clearly involved in the broader politics of the disputes in the South China Sea, but nevertheless, at the same time, on the other hand, it has adhered to this position of neutrality because at the very core, this dispute is about sovereignty. And so in that way, I think the United States does send a signal to China that there are limits to how involved it will be. And that is very important in terms of minimizing the degree to which the South China Sea becomes a much more central issue between the U.S. and China.
Professor John, same question. How do we lower the temperature of this problem, or even, in the best case, make it go away? Because the need for the United States and China to cooperate against the critical issues facing the world today is paramount.
I think that the Chinese government will need to indicate to the United States strongly that it is our common interest and also the Chinese interest to maintain stability in the South China Sea. It's for the Chinese national interest. And you assure the U.S. government that freedom of navigation must be protected in this region. Although we have differences on the freedom of warships navigation in that region, I think that on that matter we need to have more communications to avoid misunderstanding. In the meantime, I think that U.S. will assure the Chinese that the U.S. government will keep neutral in at least the sovereignty dispute. We hope that it's neutral on every dispute because sometimes they are mixed, they're interlinked. That kind of promise will not only be kept on the words, but also kept on by your action.
So last question. Is MIT the Tsinghua of America, or is Tsinghua the MIT of China? Really, it's been a pleasure having both Professor Zhang and Professor Vrabel, two outstanding professors from two outstanding universities. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.